the unmistakable soundtrack of Survivor there. Back for its 49th season next Wednesday. Yes, you heard me right. 49. At this point, Jeff Probst must have more tiki torches in his garage than Canadian Tire does. And we've got one of the castaways from Regina here in the studio. But before I get to Mr. Jake Latimer, I just want to take a second to acknowledge Robert Redford. We're learning this morning in breaking news, has passed away. The leading man of the late 60s and 70s. He was instantly recognizable, and his classic portrayal of Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid is iconic.
All right. I'll jump first.
No.
Then you jump first.
No, I said.
What's the matter with you?
I can't swim!
All the President's Men was another biggie. He won an Oscar for Ordinary People. He founded the Sundance Film Festival. 89 years old, he passed away, and I got to admit, I had a few favorites he starred in. Sneakers was one of my favorite movies of his. Legal Eagles, that was a fun one, too. And I will always remember when Indecent Proposal came up with Demi Moore, that movie that asked the provocative question, would you let your spouse sleep with another for $1 million?
Suppose I were to offer you $1 million for one night with your wife.
Yeah, that came out in 93, and I remember how controversial that was. The Natural, that was another big favorite for many Robert Redford fans. Yeah, Robert Redford, the golden boy of Hollywood, has passed away at the age of 89. Okay, standing by patiently. Jacob Latimer is here, a corrections officer originally from Regina, but now living in St. Albert, Alberta, who is on this season of Survivor. I got to welcome you back to Regina, Jake. Where'd you go to school when you lived here?
W.S. Harlack as a kid. Yeah, and then a little Belfer Redmond action after that.
Was this your first time to try an audition for Survivor, or have you been trying for a while?
No, this was the first one. Yeah, funny because my little brother, Max, he's applied 8 or 9 times.
Oh, no.
He hasn't got a call back. So
are you talking as brothers still?
No, he's super pumped for me right now, but he didn't have a faith that I was going to do very well on the show.
But?
I can't say.
Of course you can't say, I know. What was the inspiration to want to do Survivor?
Growing up, Mom and Dad, we watched Survivor every, I think it was Thursdays back then, and we'd watch it as a family. And now kind of fast forwarding, so my dad has glaucoma. This is going to be the last season that he's going to be able to see. His doctor said he's going to be completely blind by the end of the year, sorry. So for me to play in front of my dad one more time on his favorite show, it means a lot to me.
That's pretty special.
So a big motivational factor there. And then as you can see behind me here, got a little baby boy.
Was Jax born while you were away at Fiji? Or?
Yeah, so that was kind of the narrative. So when I applied for Survivor, me and my wife, we were trying to get pregnant for 4.5 years, and we just couldn't get pregnant.
Yeah.
And then I applied for Survivor, and during my application process, we found out that she was pregnant. So
nice.
Little miracle. However, when I got that call that I'm going to be on the show while I was going to be gone is when right in the middle of when the due date was. So
wow.
So I had a big decision to make. There was no way my wife was not letting me go and try to bring home $1 million, 1 in 18 chance for a brand new baby boy. So,
yeah, I bet.
Nice little surprise when I got home, right?
Side note, I got to ask this for my partner because she's always said that she wanted to go on Survivor, to go so far, not necessarily to win $1 million. She was in love with Jeff Probst.
Oh, yeah.
So she wanted to get to the point where she'd probably get kicked out. Then she'd have to stay at the hotel, hang out with Jeff a little more.
Yeah.
Is Jeff Probst as handsome as
he is,
appears?
Man. I call him the ageless wonder, man. And I'm telling you, like, when we come in on the very first day on the boats, and then Jeff Probst is standing there in all his glory, and his shirt unbuttoned, and it's like, I fangirled, man. Like, I'm standing there, and he's, like, asking questions. I'm just staring at him. I'm like, holy crap, like, I'm on Survivor, and Jeff Probst is, like, 10 feet
That's
away
cool.
from me. But he's an awesome guy. Like, there's a lot of stuff that you don't see on TV. He makes time for all of us, and he's such a joy to talk to. So he's
going into this, how do you train for something like this? Do you just like swim a lot?
So I was always been physically fit. You know, I do go to the gym every day. It's part of my kind of routine. But yeah, when I got the call, I did start swimming more. Just a few things to kind of limber up a little bit and get ready.
Well, you're a good looking guy.
Thank you, buddy. You too, buddy.
You got all these muscles, these tats. You look amazing right now. Yeah. But when you're on Survivor, what was the most difficult part? I think it's probably privacy. When you got to go poop, how do you do that?
I mean, there's two. There's the mental aspect of it, too. The heat.
The heat is
crazy. Yeah. So, like, Jeff Probst even came off record saying, I think this was the hottest season on record.
Oh,
like,
no kidding.
Since the start of Survivor.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, the bathroom, you just got to find somewhere in the ocean. You got to go in the tree. Like, it's
And do they follow you everywhere?
They don't.
Or do you say this is a privacy moment?
Yeah, it's a privacy moment.
Oh, okay.
But they do respect your privacy when it comes to those times, yeah.
You're in the 49th season. Has Survivor's game changed? Did you, in your head, know how you were going to play the game, or did you have to adapt rather.
Yeah, I had an idea going in. I kind of wanted to come in like a Joe. I'm not play like a Joe from 48, but me and him, we're both in law enforcement, right? We're both big family men, and we're loyal and we're honest. I did want to come in playing some sort of like almost a loyal game. However, on Survivor, that's not always the best. So I can't tell you how I played. You have to adapt to your surroundings very quickly out there.
Can you tell me whether or not you said something during Survivor, after they edit, you regret saying, and you're worried how it's going to come off?
Yeah, you know what? It's crazy. I tried my absolute hardest not to do anything.
Put your foot in your mouth or something.
Yeah, but however, there's vulnerable moments in that show where stuff does come out of your mouth. Like I might have been really, you know, peed off one day.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So it's just emotions kind of get the
you
best.
You do forget that you're being filmed, don't you?
Yeah, you do. Like, it's the whole thing's a blur. I can't wait to see how it comes out, though. It's going to be fun.
We can't wait. I won't miss it because I've watched every season of Survivor. I'm not going to stop.
True fan, man.
If you win $1 million.
If I win.
How does that change your life?
I mean, it helps out a lot.
This young family.
Yeah, if I got $1 million in my pocket, it's going to make this guy's life a lot easier. But yeah, I guess you'll just have to wait and see, man.
Well, I wish you the best of luck, man.
Thank you, sir. It's been an absolute pleasure being on your show.
It's really cool that you would take the time in advance to help us promote this because,
of course, buddy.
You know, it's cool to see Regina represented with Alberta. We'll give it up for Alberta.
Absolutely,
too.
Buddy. Right, I appreciate your time today,
thanks,
man.
Thanks so much.
Yeah.
Martell away this week. Andrew Shepherd is joining me now as some breaking news this morning. If you recall Robert Redford, one of the greatest actors of our time, particularly during the 70s. Heck, he was voted the top star from 74 to 76. Year after year, he was the man that captured a lot of hearts. Gone at the age of 89. Joining me now, Shep from the newsroom. Some of our greats, they're just starting to pass. We're at that point where they're just, you know, starting to.
He was the Sundance Kid in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. He was, he played Bob Woodward, the journalist, in All the President's Men. And even more recently, for the younger folks, he was in two Marvel movies, the Winter Soldier and Avengers Endgame, playing a Hydra leader named Alexander Pierce. And he's been around forever. And just died in his home in Utah, 89.
Golden boy of Hollywood. Okay. Lots of conversations about what happened in Weyburn still. And there are a lot of questions and locals still kind of freaked out by this shooting.
Yeah, it's quite a bizarre story because police don't really it doesn't seem like they have much to go on right now. All they know is that a car was going down Highway 39 just outside Weyburn, not far outside the city, of Friday night, and a bullet came through, fired from behind the vehicle is all we know, and it hit and killed a woman who was in the passenger seat. And they don't know the exact trajectory, who fired the shot, the circumstances. Was it intentional? Was it a hunting accident? No arrests are made right now. And it's just kind of put people on edge a little in the city because, you know, this is not something, you know, people getting shot while they're in a vehicle in Saskatchewan, let alone near Weyburn. And they're just kind of a little on edge wondering, you know, everyone's talking about it down there. And the mayor saying it's really, you know, it's shocking. It's surprising.
Yeah, very unsettling, but also bizarre yet not related. Is RCMP say that someone was impersonating a cop on the weekend?
Shoot? Yeah, we got a release yesterday, a news release from police yesterday, and this apparently happened the day after the shooting on Saturday, where someone was on a grid road near Mydale, not too far away from Weyburn, and a vehicle, a heavy-duty truck, came up behind them with red and blue, what looked like police emergency lights. They slowed down, the car behind them slowed down, but then nothing really happened. And then the other car with the lights just kind of drove away. And so this person reported to police. I'm not sure if this is someone trying to impersonate police, but they say it's there's no known connection at this point to that suspicious death.
Andrew Shepherd from the 980 CJME Newsroom. Going to Rider Game gets a little more affordable thanks to a partnership that's been born here.
Yeah, you know, there's been lots of talk about, you know, why isn't the game sold out? Why aren't people going to games? Maybe, you know, some people say, well, it's just not affordable anymore. So now they've partnered with Co-op to provide $20 tickets. It's they're up in the upper bowl in the 600 level. There's 200 tickets for each game. And I think this is going into future seasons because it'll be for every game, $20 tickets, except for the Labor Day Classic and any future Grey Cup games. But these will go on sale starting next week. There's two more home games this season, so you can get them. You have to get them at co-op locations, and you have to be a co-op member.
Okay, Shep. Thanks for all the information. Don't forget, too, today's Fuel Good Day in Regina. For every liter of fuel sold, Sherwood Co-op and Co-op Refinery Complex is donating 20 cents to the Cancer Foundation of Saskatchewan, and that money will benefit the Alan Blair Cancer Center right here in Regina, too. Yeah, some of you living in Coronation Park, Highland Park, Northeast Regina, wondering what's going on. Sas Power sharing on their social media that crews have been dispatched. They're trying to find out why there's an outage in those areas and how long it's going to last. But, there might be a few angry people. The coffee pot was just about done brewing there, too. My goodness. Hate when that happens. There are a lot of people wondering what's going on in Weyburn after that random shooting that killed a woman. Understandably, two people are still feeling quite uneasy in Weyburn. In fact, our reporter Jillian Massey was there yesterday to talk to locals. Joins me now. Jillian, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here. You arrived yesterday and immediately you spoke to a few people who have as many questions as the rest of us do, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. So I got to Weyburn yesterday and I spoke just with some people. I just walked down the street and I started talking to a few people. And you know what, there's so many unknowns in this situation that are making people feel uncomfortable. A lot of people don't know how this woman, this 44-year-old woman died or the reason behind. We know that she was shot, but we don't know why. We don't know, police are still investigating that scene. And what a lot of people have told me is, you know, you think you live in a quiet town and then something like this happens. One lady told me, she said, you know what, I have loved ones who drive down Highway 39 all the time, going to work or wherever they're going. Like, I mean, it's quite a busy road. So people are still feeling very upset and sad by what happened.
What specifically have RCMP said has happened here? Like yesterday we heard that they may have heard a crack and then all of a sudden realized the passenger was shot. Are RCMP clarifying anything yet for us here?
We're still in the very early stages of investigation at this point. We haven't heard too much of what has happened. All we know is that the bullet came through the back of the vehicle at this point. And we don't know if that was through the siding. We don't know what sort of gun was used at this point. We don't know if it came through the window at this point. There's still many unknowns in this situation. There's been no arrests in this, which is only adding people's stress in the community right now.
Jillian Massey back from Weyburn yesterday. You spoke to the mayor, Jeff Richards, there. What did he have to say?
You know what? Jeff Richards was really, really sympathetic about this situation. You know, Jeff Richards was formerly a counselor on Weyburn City Council and had said, you know, I think this is probably the most severe incident that I've ever dealt with during my time as counselor and as mayor so far. He said everybody's sad and everybody is really angry what happened here. This is a person that people knew. They were a community member. We're not being told the name of this person yet. That's up to RCMP to reveal that to us. But he said, you know what, everybody kind of wants to know what happened and know what happened to their loved community member at this point, and they just don't have those answers yet. And, you know, with no arrests, everybody's still unnerved and scared about this situation, especially when it's a road that's so busy, Greg. Like, yeah. I stood on the side of the road yesterday, and it was, like, it's just bustling with traffic. Like, this is a road that everybody is familiar with.
Oh, definitely.
And there's construction on one side, and there's train tracks on the other. It's quite busy. So people are very unnerved and sad.
CJME reporter Jillian Massey, I thank you for your time. I know a lot of questions. We don't have the answers yet, but it is rather unsettling. Thank you, Jillian. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Greg.
Let's start with some breaking news here. Robert Redford, the go-to leading man of the late 60s and 70s, who starred with Barbara Streisand in The Way We Were in 1973, has passed away. You remember this song? It went to number one because of that movie. I know some of you remember his blonde hair, blue eyes, handsome looks that were instantly recognizable. Of course, he played Sundance at Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid with Paul Newman.
Right. I'll jump first.
Nope.
Then you jump first.
No, I said.
What's the matter with you?
I can't swim!
That was a great movie. Still holds up if you watch that movie. Joining me now, Evan Bray. And Evan, you knew my mom, Dorothy.
I sure did know Dorothy.
And I'll never forget. As a kid, my mom loved Robert Redford and could recite lines from his movies, you know, the steely blue eyes, the blonde hair. And I always remember my mom saying, if Robert Redford ever shows up at the front door of our home here in Rosemont, I'm walking out with him. I'm never looking back.
What the heck?
And I remember looking at Dad, you know, as a young kid thinking, is she for real?
Yeah.
Like, I'm the youngest. I'm her favorite. She'd probably take me, right? But yes, Robert Redford, she would have left the entire family behind.
Oh, yeah. I'm not shocked to hear that. Of course, he was the heartthrob of a generation. Yeah. And I mean, so many good movies. He and Paul Newman had that chemistry on set. I mean, you talked about Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid, The Sting. I mean, how big was that show?
Well, and remember, too, like, there's a few movies you and I saw Robert Redford with, like Sneakers.
Indecent Aliens. Proposal.
Oh, that was such a good movie because it had everyone asking this question.
Suppose I were to offer you $1 million for one night with your wife.
Yeah. Would you give up your spouse for $1 million?
Do you take the money?
Do you want to answer that question, Evan? But that's the question everyone was posing in 1993 because of Robert Redford. Okay, well, look. Enough about that.
89? Is that how old he was?
He passed away at the age of 89 at his home in Utah, too. Another quick thing I wanted to talk to you about is leaving concerts early. Earlier this morning, I was having this discussion because at the Keith Urban concert on Saturday night, he actually did a bit, you know, where he said goodnight. And then, of course, the lights go down, but, you know, they're not going off entirely.
He's coming back.
He's coming back for the encore, and he joked when he came back about how I'm really happy you stay because most people at that point, you know, oh, should we leave now? We, you know, we'll beat all the traffic. But we'll miss some of his big songs, you know.
Yes.
So do you leave early to beat the traffic?
I wish we would have in Lainey Wilson's concert, I can tell you.
You're not going to let me live that one down.
Well, it's not your fault. I mean, I wanted to stay, too, for the encore, but, oh, my goodness, that was a
And our dates we're wanting to hear was the last big song, right? Her biggest hit. So you can't leave during the biggest song.
So typically, my answer to your question is no, I do not leave concerts early. But there has been a couple of times where then you have to put up with the snarl of traffic afterwards.
I said this too earlier. I use setlist.com where you can go and see the set list of artists who are on tour. And give or take a song or two, they're almost always the same, and you always see the last song. And I like that ninja move where halfway through knowing the last song, then you make your way towards the door that is closest to your parking spot. But $200 on average a ticket, why would you leave just to say at the end, we beat the traffic?
I did something I progressively anticipating this problem with Colter Wall. I've got tickets to Colter Wall coming up. This is the rescheduled concert in early October.
You've rented a helicopter.
We booked a hotel room close to the venue. So you walk to the venue, you walk back to the hotel room.
Is that at Chastel Center?
No, it's at TCU Place.
Oh, okay.
Downtown.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you have good success with that.
I'll let you know. I'll be able to report back on it.
You're going to be having, not the author of the Farmer's Almanac,
no, the senior editor for the Farmer's Almanac,
All right. Is this something that you, growing up on a farm, really paid attention
Greg,
to? Like, did you believe in it?
The Farmer's Almanac, for as long back as I can remember, was on the coffee table at Grandma and Grandpa's house, was sometimes at the kitchen table. Was always tattered, was always...
What about beside the toilet?
Well, it probably was there too, yes. I mean, this publication has been... It's the oldest North American constantly produced periodical. So it's since the 1700s.
Does anyone ever fact check it?
Well, Greg, It's got 80% accuracy. So you don't need to fact check it. It predicts accurately what the weather, like, we're not talking about the week ahead forecast, right? Yeah. The Farmer's Almanac will tell you how much rain we're going to get through, yeah, moisture through the winter for the spring. It's a long-term predictor of the weather, and it's very accurate.
You're very passionate, well, very protective of
well,
it.
Well, I'm protective of it, but I also know they're not going to tell us how they do it. What's the secret,
don't
man?
They use a pig splain? The guy in Swift Current?
Yeah.
Doesn't he forecast the weather? Is that?
I know that. I know which guy you're talking about. Well, we're going to ask the question this morning. I'm guessing we're not going to get an answer to it, but I'm looking forward to having them on the
show. I want to know if they guarantee the weather like I do, if they're willing to do that.
Would you pay me $25 if you're wrong next spring?
Evan Bray Show sounds like a big one today.
Look forward to it, Greg.
Well, I'll check it out. 8:30, Evan Bray returns.